1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 12 through 21 together. Fairly long passage here. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 21. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 21, and let's read this passage responsively. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And I'll read one other verse to you. Ye need not turn to it. Philippians 3:10 reads, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. Thank you for not only dying for us, but conquering death, resurrecting. Thank you for that power that is available to us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you please work in every heart? Lord, these are good people. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. But we're needy. We're sinful. We have faults. We have failure. And we need you today in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Easter. I love. Say why? Because we get to celebrate it every Lord's Day. I will not try to be offensive. I don't have to try. But Easter seems to be more of a Catholic holiday than anything. We've got it all screwed up. Folks, the word Easter is mentioned one time in Scripture, Acts chapter 12, verse number 4, and it's in reference to Passover and the resurrection. If you'll listen today, I think I can help you. Easter is not about rabbits hiding eggs. Not quite sure where that started, but rabbits don't lay eggs. I've never seen a rabbit egg, okay? Rabbits have bunnies, okay? Not the marshmallow ones that y'all are eating or the chocolate ones either, ladies, but it's... Easter is in reference to the Passover and the death, the burial, but Easter itself, or what we call Resurrection Sunday, the focus is on the resurrection of Jesus. Now, we're going somewhere with that. Hang on. We read in Philippians chapter 3, I read it to you, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection is the title of my sermon today. Real Christianity is different from all other religions in the world. Now, if you'll listen to me, Jesus is the only person to resurrect on his own out of the grave. He is the only one. Now, we needed that because, number one, death had to be conquered for our sin debt to be cared for. You have to understand something. What we read here in 1 Corinthians 15, God was telling us here that if there is no resurrection, there is no salvation, because the price for salvation would not be complete unless death were conquered. Punishment for our sin, part of it is death. And death had to be conquered so that we could live forever someday. By the way, we don't visit a grave, we visit an empty tomb. By the way, Jesus, let me give you the Catholic side of Easter. It's impossible. Catholics can't count, just so you know. Good Friday is a farce. Jesus was buried 3 days and three nights. You don't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. That's a day and a half, just so you know. Okay? They can't count. But all that being said, listen to me very carefully. Buddha was born in 563 BC. He lived to be 80 years old. After he hit his 80th birthday, he said, I'd like to see what I did in my life. I realize life is ending. And he started journeying across his people to find out what he did, see his accomplishments. While he was doing that, got sick and died in 483 BC. Confucius was born in 551 BC. At the age of 72, he fell into a deep state of depression because his two sons died and his close assistant died, and he literally, history records, grieved himself or depressed himself to death. A man named Muhammad was born in 570 AD. After his 13th wife, at the age of 62, he got a high fever, probably from too many mother-in-laws, got a high fever and died as a result of this extreme fever in 632 AD. Allah is a name for a god of the Muslims. It is not a real person. Allah never lived. It's just a title. Now listen very carefully. Allah supposedly is the God of creation and the God of rain. The Quran portrays him as more powerful and more remote than Jehovah. But he's just a name. He's never been a real person. May I tell you something? Jesus is a real person. Jehovah God is a real person. That's why in the book of Genesis, it's so important. In the image of God created he him, male and female. We are made in the image of God. It's not some little ethereal spirit in a vacuum up in space somewhere floating around that nobody knows. God is real. All of these false religions have gods who have died of natural causes. Listen to me very carefully. And they stayed in a grave. They stayed in a grave. You can go visit Buddha's tomb and see his remains. You can go visit Muhammad's tomb and see his remains. You can go visit Confucius's tomb and see his remains. But may I tell you, you go to Israel and go up a hill near Golgotha and open up a tomb and it's empty because Jesus is not there. He conquered death, got out of the grave because that's what it took to pay your sin debt. By the way, proved he was God. Today, I want to show you why the resurrection is so important. Number one, the resurrection proves that Jesus was not just a martyr. Do you know there have been millions of people that have died for causes? Countless millions of people have died for causes. We have soldiers by the millions in America that have died for the cause of freedom for the United States of America. And in essence, you could say they are martyrs. And thank God they're willing to die for their country. You have people through the medieval times, the Christians were put in the catacombs and tortured. You read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read of thousands and thousands and thousands of people being killed for the cause of Christ, and they were martyrs. But may I say this, none of them ever got up out of the grave. Jesus getting up out of the grave proved he wasn't just dying for a cause. He's the only one to resurrect for a cause. A martyr dies for a good reason or for a purpose. And though Jesus died for a purpose, it wasn't the end. He said, I got 3 days and three nights later, and I'm coming up out of that grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Folks, Jesus didn't just die and go into a tomb and stay there. By the way, there was a significance for the 3 days and three nights. Hebrew culture states that though a person's body dies, they're not declared officially dead until they have been dead 3 days. Till the body starts the decay process. By the way, as soon as your body dies, it starts. By the way, as soon as you're born, it starts the decay process. We talk about, I know, where's Hope at? She's here somewhere. She's back there. Today's her birthday. And we talk about she's lived 39 years. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Okay, she's lived a few years. I'm going to get in trouble. Thank God it's Hope. She'll still love me. Amen? But, we celebrate these years of life, but actually your birthdays are more celebration of your death. Life is a process of dying, not a process of getting better. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The older you get, the harder it is. Amen? Now, listen to me very carefully here. You have to understand, Jesus, after 3 days and three nights, the Bible said, don't open that tomb, it's going to stink. You leave a dead body for 3 days and three nights, the decay process hits its pinnacle of starting to break down. The muscle tissue, the gases from inside breaking down all the internal organs and things. The bloating begins and all the other things take place. And that is in a process of decay and proof that Jesus did not go into a swoon and just pass out for 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights, he was dead. But may I tell you something? He pushed the stone away and conquered death for you and me. That 3 days and three nights was very significant. Millions have died for religious or military causes, but Jesus is the only one to conquer death and not die a martyr only. It proves he was the Savior. Folks, Muhammad never got up. Confucius never got up. Buddha still sitting there. Allah never was. Jesus is the only one to conquer death. Number two, Jesus was seen by over 500 living people after the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15. I want you to look at verse number 5. Just a few verses back from where we read. The Bible says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now look at me. God tells us here that Peter or Cephas had seen Jesus resurrected. Then the rest of the 12 disciples, other than Judas Iscariot, who had hung himself and killed himself, had seen him. And then he was seen of over 500 people at once. That means there was at least 511 people that saw Jesus after 3 days, three nights, in a tomb after the resurrection. The Bible says justice requires two credible witnesses to hear a case. Guess what? There's over 512 that saw Jesus after he was died and resurrected. I'd say that's pretty good proof, amen? So there were over 500 people that had seen Jesus after the resurrection. I won't take time to turn there. I got to hurry. The Bible says that he walked with people on the earth after the resurrection. It says he talked with them. Now, Brother Hollinger, you work around dead people. They don't talk to you. If they do, it's time to quit. Amen? Whew. Yeah, buddy. There's one place I don't want to talk to somebody, and that's when they're laying in that box. Amen? If it starts talking, I'm done. I'm going to be laying in the box next to them. Not going to happen. Say why? Because, you know, just dead people don't talk, amen? And if they do, I'm going to die. Now, listen to me very carefully here. He ate food with them. Dead people don't eat food. Contrary to what the Egyptians said, and bury these kings in their pyramids with all kinds of food and servants and their pets and everything else, folks, you can put all the food you want in the casket, but you open it up, it wasn't consumed by a person laying there. You can't take it with you. You might put it in the box with you, but guess what? You're not in there. You're either in heaven or hell. This is just a shell. This is just your robe of flesh. Jesus conquered that, and he came back, and to prove that he was still alive, he walked with people, he talked with people, and he ate food with people. Now, listen to me very carefully. There's something about the resurrection most people don't realize. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Something happened at Calvary and at the resurrection that most preachers just pass by, and oh, maybe once in your life you heard something about it, but it just is so untalked about that because people are afraid of the truth. Matthew 27, I want to start reading in verse number 50. When Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now look at me. Here's Jesus on the cross. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. We know what that last statement was according to one of the other gospels. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he gave up the ghost. By the way, it doesn't say that man killed him. He says he gave up his ghost. He was in control of it. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now watch me. The temple was the church building. That temple had a veil between the holy place and the holy of holies. That is where the, we would call it in the Old Testament, the tabernacle would have been. That's where the Ark of the Covenant and all those other pieces of furniture were kept. And only the high priest could go past the holy place into the holy of holies, had to go through the veil of the temple to get there. It was about a 4-inch thick curtain. It was sewn together about 4 inches thick of solid fabric. And only once a year was even the high priest allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, or God would kill him. I want you to notice something. The Bible says that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. It means God tore it in half. Ripped it down. The Bible says also that an earthquake took place, and the ground shook, and the rocks rent or broke. Now watch this, 52. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept, what's the next word? Arose. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holiest city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, wouldn't you? Saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Not only when Jesus died did the earthquake take place, but the Bible says that many of the graves were opened. That means, and those people that had been dead, some for a little while, we don't know how long, maybe some for as many as thousands of years, the Bible says they sat up in the tombs. That's enough to make you want to get scared, amen? Been in a lot of funeral homes. I've never seen somebody sit up in a casket. If they do, they'll have a new exit. Now I'm getting out of there any way I can. The Bible says the moment that Jesus died, the moment the earthquake took place, that the graves were open and many of the Old Testament saints sat up. Now that's enough to scare you. But wait a minute. According to the scripture, the Bible says they sat there like that for 3 days and three nights. Then after Jesus resurrected, they got up and walked into the city and started talking to everybody. Now, folks, if your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa sat up in his grave for 3 days and three nights, and then after Jesus resurrected came in and started talking to you, you'd wonder what happened, wouldn't you? Buddha can claim that he's a god, but that never took place when he died and resurrected. Confucius can claim that he was a god, but none of that ever took place after he died. Muhammad can proclaim that he was a god, but none of that ever took place when he died. Can I tell you something? Even the Roman soldiers, after they saw all this, said, truly, this was the Son of God. That wasn't a saved person. That was a lost soldier guarding the body of Jesus Christ. Folks, there was more to it than just one man got up out of the grave. The Bible says that after that earthquake, those tombs were opened. They sat up. Now, that's enough to make you scared. But after 3 days and three nights later, after Jesus resurrected, they got up and walked into the city and started talking to everybody. Now, here's the thing. Jesus died as the Lamb of God, paying your sin debt. He resurrected your high priest. That's why the veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom, because Jesus took his own blood as the Lamb of God, crossed through, went to heaven, placed his blood on the mercy seat for your eternal salvation. Now listen to me, that's why we don't need a priest to offer sacrifices. That's why we don't need to pray through a priest, because once you get saved, you are a priest of God. You have direct access to God because of what Jesus did. Not his death, but his resurrection. He died to pay the sin debt, but he resurrected to put it on the mercy seat in heaven. He died as your lamb. He resurrected as your high priest so that you have direct access to God. You don't need the preacher to read the Bible to you. You can read it yourself. You don't need me to talk to God for you, though I will. You have as much access to God as I do. You don't have to pray through Mother Mary. She does not have an inside road on Jesus. By the way, she's not hearing you. She's not God. You pray through Mother Mary, you're worshiping a human being. Mary never resurrected. That's why the Catholics will tell you she never died. She was translated from earth to heaven. Because they still want to believe she's more powerful. That's why they call her the Mother of God. She was not the Mother of God. She was a vessel by which the body of Jesus was birthed. But she's not the Mother of God. God has always been. He created her body. Now listen to me very carefully. Number three, why is the resurrection so important? What's the big deal? Number one, it proved that Jesus is God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I know you're using your Bibles a little more than you're used to, but that's okay. Romans chapter 1, verse number 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, how? By the resurrection from the dead. Look at me. There's been a lot of people throughout history that have claimed to be God. None of them resurrected, but one, Jesus. God declared Jesus the Son of God and God in the flesh through the resurrection. Folks, don't let people intimidate you. Don't let the world say, well, Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. The Mormons have it wrong. That's false doctrine. That's a lie. The Jehovah's false witnesses will tell you, well, he was just another prophet like Moses or David or Daniel or Ezekiel or Isaiah. He wasn't just another prophet. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Lucifer never conquered death. He will face eternal death. Now, listen very carefully. The resurrection was part of God's plan of salvation before man was ever created. Turn back to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want everybody to look at me for just a minute before we read here. You have to understand something. Lucifer sinned in heaven before man was created. God created a place for Lucifer and his angels, a place called hell, and cast his judgment on Lucifer and his followers. As a result, maybe, I don't know what the plan of God was, but maybe as a result of that rebellion in heaven, God said, there's a part of me that's missing. I'll create a new creation and call him man. And God created man. By the way, he created us sinless. Amen. God said, I'll give you the same freedom to choose that I gave Lucifer. Hopefully you won't. But if so, Jesus authored a plan of salvation before we were created. That's why it says, before the foundation of the world. Jesus said, God, you're going to make man in our image. And if man ever does what Lucifer did, there's got to be a way for us to settle so that we can get them back. And Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go someday, and if man sins, I will be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, be crucified at Calvary, conquer death through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that man can have the fellowship restored with God the Father. By the way, Jesus never paid that price for Lucifer. He did for us. That's how much God loves you. But watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now look at me. Jesus fulfilled the word of God that was spoken before man was ever created. Had he just died, the Scriptures are in vain. Without the resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, we read it earlier, that Jesus' death only was vain. It's worthless. Jesus had to conquer death through the resurrection for it to be proving that he is God. Amen. By the way, there is no salvation apart from the resurrection. There is no salvation apart from the resurrection. Romans chapter 10, I'm not going to go into even the chapters, but if you'll listen to me, according to the book of Romans chapter 10, the Bible says that without this resurrection, there is no salvation. Folks, if there is no resurrection, we're all going to die and go to hell. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope of heaven. You see, there are people, there are preachers, there are Christians throughout the last many millenniums who have died for the cause of Christ, but none of them got up out of the grave on their own power. The disciples were killed for preaching the gospel, but they're not the Savior. Once they were dead, they stayed in the ground. Jesus conquered death. He conquered death. By the way, just so you know, we go back to Matthew 27 about the Old Testament saints that sat up in the graves. And then when he resurrected, they walked into town and started talking to people. See, they were being held in a place called Abraham's bosom. And for 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus was there walking and talking with those Old Testament saints. I believe when he died, their bodies sat up in the graves. And he went to Abraham's bosom. And he was saying, hey, fellas, ladies, guess what? We're going to have a time here in a couple days. We're going to go back in and shock the snot out of everybody on our way to heaven. We're going to have some fun. You're going to get to see some of your grandkids and your great-grandkids and some of the generations to follow. And don't enjoy it too long because we're going to heaven, but we're just going to have a good time. And I believe that when Jesus, it was time for him to resurrect, he said, all right, let's go. Follow me. And guess what? They followed him. Amen. And up from the grave they arose. Now wait a minute. Those are the people Jesus had been walking and talking with. Jesus suffered our hell at Calvary. He did not go to a place and burn for 3 days and three nights. He is God. Say, what was the hell that he suffered? Total separation from God. That's why for 3 hours on the cross, everything went dark. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit turned their back on Jesus. And that's when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was suffering our hell on the cross by being totally separate from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The worst part of hell is not the fire, it's the separation from God. Even the Son of God couldn't take it any longer. Perfection could only handle it 3 hours. Imagine how bad it'll be in eternity for imperfection. Can you imagine how bad hell will be? But guess what? Jesus got up. Can I tell you how much God loves you? God loved you so much, he does not want you to die and go to hell. He loved you so much that he gave you Jesus Christ, not just his death, but his resurrection. Now, here's the good part. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you know that you get to know the very one that resurrected from the dead? He made the ability to get to know him available because of the resurrection. If there were no resurrection, there's no knowing Jesus Christ. Folks, I get to do a lot of praying. It is my honor to pray. Many times I'll kneel before our God and I'll say, God, not only do I get to pray, but you told me you want me to. Do you realize God made you to spend time with you? Parents, what if you had a child and that child never wanted to spend any time ever with you? Never wanted to talk to you? Some of you have grown kids and you've had troubles. Then you go through little spells where they don't want to talk to you, but I mean never, ever talk to you. Imagine how hard that would break your heart. Can I tell you something? The moment you got saved, you became a child of God. How come you won't talk to your daddy? How come you won't go to him? You want your fleshly children to talk to you. You want your fleshly children to communicate with you. How much more does a perfect, holy, righteous God want you to talk to him? Say, but I don't know how. Just start. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. You have that ability because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't need the preacher to talk to him for you. You don't need the Pope to talk to you for him. You don't need Mary to talk to him for you. You have direct access because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Not only that you may know him, watch this, and the power of his resurrection. Can I tell you what the power of his resurrection is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. That's why Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I'll not leave you comfortless. After I die and resurrect, I'll leave you the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. God left in man after he resurrected. When man gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life and you have the power of God available to you. Hey, Christian, you have all the power necessary for every problem you have. Say, how is that? The power of the Holy Ghost. Here's the problem. You have to yield to him. That's the hard part. But I know more. You don't know more than God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. We get to that point where we go through problem after problem after problem, and we get knocked down. And when we're finally on our back, we say, okay, God, I need your help. Well, every once in a while, why shouldn't, before we go to the problem, say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to get your help before I go through this. Why is it the last thing we do is look up? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. According to the book of Romans, it is the Holy Spirit of God that resurrected Jesus Christ's body. And he left us that Holy Spirit. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I know for decades and millenniums we've said this, you get saved and Jesus moves in your heart. Jesus doesn't move into your heart. The Holy Spirit does. God the Son paid the price. The Holy Spirit moves in. Your spirit was dead, and it is the Holy Spirit that regenerates your spirit and moves into your life. That's why when you're about to do something sinful, you feel uncomfortable. You have that still small voice that says, well, he calls me this. Hey, stupid, don't do that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That still small voice. That's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. We call it conviction. You don't like sometimes what the preacher says. And you're thinking, oh, I don't want to go there because he might preach on what I'm doing. Yeah, that's called the Holy Spirit. I didn't go to your house and watch you for 6 weeks and take notes. I didn't read your emails and your text messages and listen to your phone conversations. That's the Holy Spirit of God doing the work that he's done in your life. About 150 people here today, there's no way one man could tell you what everybody in this room needs, but there is one God that can. And it's amazing how I can preach one truth and it applies 150 different ways. Say why? Because of the Holy Spirit of God. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Listen to me. We all face problems. My phone buzzed this morning, right before Sunday school. And somebody from away from here buzzed me and said, there's a problem. I didn't read it. Say why? Because I didn't want to find out what the problem was before I preached. Could be me, amen. I got through Sunday school and it was eating me up. I went back to my office and I thought, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. But I did it anyway. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, amen? And I'll be hanged. It was about me. Somebody attacking. Say, what'd you do? I deleted the message, put the phone down. I got on my knees at my desk in my office, and I said, I need your power. And no matter what comes, we're going to show the power of your resurrection. Now work through me. By the way, I'm not discouraged. I'm not worried about it. I'm not. I'm as happy as can be. You know why? Because we have the power of his resurrection upon us. The hand of God upon our church. We have watched him multiply and we have seen the blessings of God. By the way, I don't care what any human being says. We're supposed to obey him and live in the power of his resurrection. Guess what? The world has been attacking the church since there was one. There's nothing new. Well, do you know what they said about you? Do you know what they say about Jesus? Who cares? I've been having people say bad things about me for an awful long time. Some of them are true. Guess what? Some of it's true about you too. Thank God for grace. Amen. Can I tell you something? We live as Christians such defeated people. I got this problem and I got that problem and I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, why don't you claim the power of God? Now, folks, I understand. Listen to me. Heartaches hurt. Burdens are not easy. But guess what? You have the power of God available to you. I'm sorry, I'm going to use it. I've been praying for Brother Hollinger's sister for months now. She's dying of cancer. She was doing real well, and it just seems like in the last couple days, and they had to call hospice yesterday. And he sat in my office just before church weeping. Brother Hollinger, you know it's true. We sat there, and I prayed, and I said, we need the power of the resurrection today. And you watched a man get up here, though his heart is broken, lead songs, and let the power of God work through him. Can I tell you why? The power of his resurrection. It's not Don Hollinger's power, it's the power of God. It's not my power, it's the power of God. Say, you got heartaches? Yeah, I've got heartaches. Do you got problems? Yeah, I got problems. Do you have needs? We all have needs. But may I say this? Let's claim the power of his resurrection to get through those problems. Some of you are so focused on the problem, you forget the power. You're using the vacuum cleaner and forgetting to plug it into the wall. You got the vacuum cleaner out, you undid the cord, and you're going around the room and you're not doing anything but pushing the vacuum cleaner. You got to plug that thing into the power to watch it go roar, amen? Some of you aren't plugged in. It's time to get plugged into the power of his resurrection. Say, but Brother Bush, my heart hurts. I understand, but that's why he left you the Holy Spirit. But I'm grieving. Okay, you grieve, but you got the power of the Holy Spirit. But I hurt. My body is in pain. You don't know the news I got, but I do know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I'll be honest with you. I hurt for God. I love my kids. But if my kids never ever talk to me again, it would hurt me bad. I don't ever want God to face that with me. I don't want God to look down and say, I'm disappointed in you. You never talk to me. I walked through the door about 7 this morning. I stopped, put my key in the door, and I said, God, thank you for Grace Baptist Church. I can't believe you provided this building for us. I opened the door and stepped in and flipped the light on. I said, God, right there's our new nursery. And God, thank you for Brother Bob painting it yesterday, and it looks so good. And I prayed for the ladies that would work in there today. And I prayed for your babies and your little ones. I walked up the hall to Mrs. Hollinger's room, and I kicked the door open and put the stopper in. And I prayed for Mrs. Hollinger and Michelle as they worked with the kids, and I prayed for your kids today. I walked down, crossed here, and threw some stuff down in my office, and I walked into here. Brother Logan walked into your classroom, and I prayed for y'all. I walked into my teen Sunday school classroom, and I prayed for them. Brother Jerry, I walked into your classroom, and I prayed for God to rest his power upon you, and God to help get you up and get you here today. Brother Williamson, I came in here, and I stood right here where you normally stand and teach, and I prayed for you. I walked through every row, not knowing who was going to sit where. Most of you, I know where you sit, but it doesn't matter. I prayed for every person sitting on every chair in this room this morning. Say why? Because I wanted the power of his resurrection upon us. But may I say this? I prayed for you so that you would know him. I'd like to get to know you, but I'd rather you know him. I'm here to borrow. But guess what? He's there all the time. Amen. He wants to help you through. I want you to come back tonight. I'm preaching a sermon called God's Abundant Grace. And you need it. I need it. But the only way we get that is through the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. By the way, you get to know him because of his resurrection. And the power of his resurrection. Do you realize the same power that it took to get Jesus up out of the grave is available to every person that trusts Jesus Christ as Savior? Say, I feel like this problem is just going to bury me, then resurrect. I feel like this burden, this heartache is just swallowing me up, and I'm just hurting so bad. Then claim the power of the resurrection and let him resurrect you out of the problem. It may not take the problem away, but guess what? You can resurrect and not die. You don't have to lay there dead. You can get up. The resurrection sets us apart from all religions because it proves that Jesus is all-powerful. He's greater than Mary. He's greater than the Pope. He's greater than Buddha. He's greater than Muhammad. He's greater than Confucius. He's greater than any statue, any image, any false god of the world. You say, why? Because Jesus paid it all and he conquered death. He is the only one to conquer it so that you could know him. So that the fellowship between you and your God could be restored. And that you could live with his power on your life. By the way, it's a free gift. So all you got to do is ask him for it. Just trust what he did for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, I know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you please raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out just like I did not call them out. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I died, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. A little one or two. How many would say, Brother Bush, I have not been living in the power of his resurrection. Maybe you didn't know it was available. Maybe you didn't know how to get it. But something in the sermon today, you'd say, I need the power of his resurrection in my life. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. You may put your hands down. Maybe you've been away from God for a while. Guess what? It's available. It's available. Just come back to him. Just come back to him. He's there, just like your parents are there. Just like your children are there. If you're a parent, your child has gone wayward, happiest day of your life is when they come back to you. How'd you like to make God the Father happy? Why don't you just come back to him? He just wants to know you. He just wants to spend time with you.